Monday, January 20th, 2008 is when we're recording this show. Hi, my name is Larry Herbeck, Fox Live's Major Nelson. I'm here with E, who's going to say hello.
Hello, everyone.
And...
What?
I was listening to the last couple of shows. You say hello exactly the same way when you open every
show. I said it differently this
time. Okay. All right, if you say so.
I had oomph today.
All right, so this is show number 264. Thank you for downloading the show. And E and I were just sitting here getting ready for the show, writing a couple notes down, because there's volumes of preparation that happened for this showgram.
Absolutely.
And
Showgram?
Showgram. It's a show and it's a program.
Okay.
Sure. So, if you haven't noticed already, last week we talked about it. We're using new microphones. I have a brand new microphone for E, and people seem to like it.
I got a ton of messages from people going, "Oh, new mic's great. You should keep using it. Keep using it." So here we are.
So you're now here. This behemoth. And I should take a picture of the microphone, or I can at least link off to it. It's an MX something. I don't remember what model number.
It's like half the size of my head.
Yeah, it's got a shock mount and. All sorts of creative cup holder. It's got everything on there, doesn't
it? Ooh, now that would be handy if it could, like, keep a beer cold while we're recording.
So we're recording the show. We were trying to figure out what we're going to talk about. And you came up with kind of a list, didn't you? Did you write
it
down?
Kind
of,
yeah.
Okay. We've got December MPD numbers, which came out this week.
Yep.
We'll talk about those in a minute. We've got Undertow. You can get Undertow for free next week or this week, depending upon when you're listening to this. So we'll give you details on that. I'm going to interview the studio head of Propaganda Games, which is the group responsible for Turok, which is coming out in...
Is it Turok?
I believe it is Turok, and I mispronounced it.
Okay,
so,
just checking.
Turok. Turok, and he's also going to tell you when the game is coming. It's available in Europe, the demo over Xbox Live, but it's not available in the U.S. yet. He will tell you when that's going to happen. And we also, I kind of corner him on the grab bag achievement. Do you remember that achievement?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so he explains himself out of that one.
Okay, that I want to hear.
Yeah, so we'll talk to him about that. And other than that, it's just E and I sitting here playing games. What'd you play this week?
I played a lot of Rock Band this week.
Yeah, I know. You always say, every week we come in here, you say the same thing.
But Rock Band it may be the all-time best party game.
Right.
I mean, and that's tough competition, because there are some great games in there.
Okay.
But if you're just going to have some friends over and hang out, it's pretty close to perfect.
I'll take your word for that. Let's see what else we got going on. Gee, what else did I play
this week? I did not get any farther on COD4 on Veteran.
I'm meant to get back to that. Played a little bit of Circle of Doom.
The new Kingdom Under Fire.
Kingdom Under Fire, played that.
Why is my microphone dropping down?
Oh, sorry about that. Hold on.
Sorry, folks.
I just all of a sudden I looked and gee, the microphone's like a foot
the
lower than it was
feeling
before.
Listless. Just leave it alone; it'll be fine.
I've seen advertisements during football games for things that would help the microphone.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So Undertow is going to be available free this week. Oh, you know who else I have on the show?
Who?
The Gamerscore blog guys.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. When we were down at CES, you and I talked a lot about CES last week, and I was trying to get them on last week, but they were all busy and doing all their Gamerscore blog stuff. But I was able to grab them for about 15 minutes, and we just sat down and we chatted about, you know, what we were doing down at the show. They did some really cool stuff with the community. That's the one thing that's great about Xbox is we have so many people that work on community. We've got me, we've got Trixie, we've got the Gamerscore blog guys, which is I think it was like 40 or 45 people blogging at that blog now. I can't remember.
Is there that many?
I don't know. I can't remember.
Okay.
But we'll talk about that. So I'm going to catch up with John and Tony and Chris from the Gamerscore blog, and we're going to talk about that. But we're talking about Undertow, is that Undertow is going to be available as a free download, available starting Wednesday at 2 a.m. Pacific through Sunday, 11:59 p.m. Pacific. So if you're wondering what those actual dates are, let me open up my little calendar here. That is the Wednesday the 23rd through Sunday the 27th. And, of course, times may vary based on where you're located on this planet Earth. But Undertow is actually a fairly highly rated game, so people are excited about that.
It's very pretty. I was actually pretty surprised when I fired it up. I haven't played it very much. I need to spend some more time
on it. You do need to spend some more time on that. So it actually won IGN's Best of E3 winner this year. It was an editor's choice from Xbox, official Xbox magazine. So it's one of those games that maybe a lot of people weren't aware of and didn't download, but that one's going to be available for all of you, available for free during those dates that I just mentioned. Thank you for all your patience and whatnot and understanding, and that's why we're going to offer that to you for free. So there you have that. So there's a multiplayer, there's a single-player campaign,
It's got a lot of options, up to 16-player multiplayer, I think.
It's crazy. Is that what it is? It's 15-level single-player campaign. I don't have that in front of me. It's got lots of stuff going on there, so go ahead and check that out. Yeah, it is. You're absolutely right. System Link 2 to 6. Wow. Who knew?
I did.
Wow. You're an encyclopedia of knowledge. I mean, I'm sitting over here looking at it, and you're, like, pulling this stuff out, like, wow, okay.
Which is good, because usually the knowledge I have in my head is not actually useful for anything. Well, that was.
Well done. So that's coming out Undertow, and I'll post a reminder post about that on Wednesday when that happens. So what else is going on? There's a few things that have been going on. We've got a lot of content that's gone out. There's a Guitar Hero 3 Rock Your Party sweepstakes. Have you seen this one, E?
I saw the banner ad in the Dash this morning. I'm trying to... If I remember correctly, this is one of those play during a certain time, play with the developers, win prizes,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of straightforward. It's available in Canada and the U.S. I apologize, or on behalf of our marketing department, I apologize for our folks outside the U.S. and Canada. But it's available, and it's the way... Do you know how you enter? One of the ways to enter?
No.
You download a gamer picture.
Oh, one specific gamer picture?
No, there's a bunch of them. All you have to do is by the act of downloading it, you're kind of entered into the contest.
Gotcha. Okay, that's the same way that you register for the Halo 3 Sniper School tournament.
Precisely. Yep. So it's easy, it's quick, it's painless, and then you're off to the races. So that's coming up. What else? We've got a whole bunch of news going on this week. I'm opening up my browser to go through. I mean, you guys can read. There's a Virtual Fighter 5 update. If you haven't put in Virtual Fighter 5, I highly recommend you do that. When you sign into Xbox Live the next time with Virtual Fighter 5, you'll get a title update, and there's a bunch of stuff fixed.
Now, I'm not a big VF fan, and mm-hmm. I'm not a big fighting game fan,
right.
Although I like DOA. I like the Soul Calibur series. Other than that, never really been big into it.
Mm-hmm.
But people seem to really, really like this update.
Yeah, so that's I could put a link off, but it's up on the blog. And I remember the old days when I would be able to post all the different title update information for anything that happened. There's just too many titles right now. There's too much going on.
Yeah, the number of games on the service, the number of content coming through.
It's blinding.
Just keeping up with, like, Guitar Hero and Rock Band is tough, much less everything else.
Speaking of that, the Rock Band tracks that were live this week, Last Train to Clarksville, All the Small Things in Action. Last Train to Clarksville. We got to do that together.
I'm trying to place that song.
Really? You don't know Last Train to Clarksville?
If I heard it, I would probably know it, but I'm not as old as you.
That's not true. That has nothing to do with it.
It is true, and B, yes, it does.
Yes, you are as old as me. I posted live activity for this week, blah, 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 lots of other stuff going on there. So, actually, Monday was a big day. Do you know why? Do you remember? Even though it feels like it's, you know, it was a week ago.
Monday. I'm trying to remember all the way back to Monday.
So?
Oh, yes, that's right. Monday, we added the first title to Xbox Originals in a little while.
Which was?
Burnout 3 Takedown.
It's legendary.
I played so much of that game when it came out.
And a lot of people, there was some confusion on the boards and the forums and the intertubes about, well, EA shut the servers off. They did not.
You can play multiplayer. You can do the single-player stuff. It's kind of handy to just have it sitting there on your hard drive, and you don't have to go scrounging for the disc to play it.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice.
Mm-hmm. So that's all. And then, of course, on Wednesday, the arcade title was Boogie Bunnies. Do you have anything to say for that?
It's a nice game.
People were calling them fuzzy, but they're not fuzzy. They're shiny. If you look at them, they're shiny bunnies.
Yes, they're, I don't know, normal mapped or something. I have no idea.
You know, every time you come into my office, there's more and more stuff in here.
I try to help you by always taking things with me when I leave.
So a friend of mine who's in another office, he's moving offices to a different part of the campus, and he gave me these posters. And anybody who has ever been to Disneyland or Disney World...
These are amazing.
When you walk into Disneyland or Disney World, and I have not been to Paris Disneyland or to Disneyland in Tokyo, so I assume they're the same. But as you walk into the Disneyland or Disney World or any of the other ones, you go under the train station, and on the sides, as you walk through, they have posters. And the posters, these enormous posters that are, you know, 3 or 4 feet high, and they're just talking about all the different attractions and lands. And he has, got the Jungle River Cruise at Adventureland, and then Tomorrowland. I think it's Rocket to the Moon.
The Rocket to the Moon one is amazing.
And
if you're out of room in here, I will gladly take that off
your
hands.
And not only that, but they're beautifully framed.
Oh, yeah.
They're framed, and they're beautiful, and they're really kind of cool. So I want to thank him for those.
throw out his gamer tag?
No, I don't want to do that.
Oh,
I don't
okay.
want to do that to him. It'll just crush him. So that's about. Hey, you know, we wanted to talk about the MPD numbers. So you always are the expert when it comes, for lack of a better term. You're the expert when
sure.
it comes to MPD numbers. Do you want to talk about those now?
Well, there's a slight problem there.
Okay.
And that would be, I didn't bring my laptop, and we have them up on your laptop on the other
side. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to switch. I'm going to go over to your microphone, you go to mine.
Oh, this should be entertaining.
Okay, so we're going to move. Here we go. All right, there we go.
Okay.
So you got to really go in on that.
I have
Mikey.
No idea how I'm going to sound on this thing.
Okay.
So December NPD numbers.
Yep.
And my first reaction when I saw this, and I think yours was the same, is, oh my lord, that's an incredible amount of consoles and video games.
Right. Across the board.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you look at this and it's like, okay, anyone who doesn't think video gaming is mainstream, just take a look at this.
Actually, I think when these numbers came out, you IM'd me. You're like, gaming's out of the basement, I believe is what your line is.
I think that is what I said.
Exactly what you said.
So to remind people, NPD numbers, we're talking U.S. retail sales. This doesn't cover all of U.S. retail. It catches like 60 or 70%.
But doesn't it project? Somebody told me that it projects. They kind of like try to figure out what the delta or what the difference is.
I don't know if they actually do that or not. I know it's not.
I got to get somebody on to talk about NPD numbers, but go ahead and let's talk about the ones that were released.
Get an NPD in?
Yeah.
An NPD IN?
Yeah, yes.
Something like that.
Right.
Anyways, the actual numbers.
I don't know what he's saying.
Yeah, neither do I. DS Lite on top. 2.47 million DS Lites sold. That's astounding. Up, let's see, 61%. Wait, that number's clearly not right. Anyways, 2.47 million.
I'm so glad you're sitting in front of the laptop so you can give us proper information.
Yeah, I'm just trying to read the chart here, and it's like, hey, wait a minute.
All right, let's pick it up.
Second place, the Wii, 1.35 million sold. Third place, Xbox 360, 1.26 million sold. That's 1.26 million Xbox 360s. Wow. 1.1 million PS2s. 1.06 million PSPs. And 797,000 PS3s.
So it was a good month for December for a lot of folks.
Everyone sold stuff.
Yep.
Yeah. That's astounding.
Everyone
and
sold
then they,
stuff.
They threw in hardware totals for 2007. So just in the U.S., here's how many of them were sold. I'll do the big three. Wii, 6.29 million. Xbox 360, 4.62 million. And PS3, 2.56 million.
Wow.
Now, the interesting thing is, I look at that chart, and the big question in my mind is, if they were all priced the same, what would people buy?
Right.
Because, I mean, Wiis are great. I've got one myself.
Yep.
It gets plenty of play. But I wonder how much of those sales are because it's $249. And we'll never know. It's just interesting
right.
topic to talk about.
I also want to talk about for a second, while you're talking about that, before you go into the software sales. So did we talk about the rumor about the one console?
Oh, the developers saying that, yeah, that's the future and that there's no way this business will survive unless we get to a single console just like DVDs.
Well, there actually is a single console, gaming console. It's called the PC. That's what Games for Windows is.
Yeah, that's very true. I still have not pulled the trigger on my gaming PC for home, but that's another story.
All right, let's go on to the software because this is really interesting numbers here.
This is... The December software sales are mind-blowing. The number one title in December, Call of Duty 4 on Xbox 360.
Nice.
1.47 million copies sold.
Yep. That's a lot of copies.
That's in 1 month on one platform. That's amazing.
Congratulations, Infinity Ward. Nice work.
Yeah. Number two, Super Mario Galaxy on the Wii, 1.4 million.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Mario. Yeah. A great game.
Yeah.
Guitar Hero 3 for PS2, 1.25 million. I mean, it's got to be nice to have an installed base that big to sell into.
Yeah,
because there's, 100 million PS2s worldwide, and I don't remember how many in the U.S.
Right.
But, boy,
a lot.
A lot of them. Yeah. Number four, Wii Play with Remote, 1.08 million.
I bought one.
Well, that's how you got the second remote.
That's how you got the second remote, second controller, exactly.
Yep.
It's interesting they call it a remote.
It shouldn't be Wii Play with Wiimote.
With controller.
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
Number five, Assassin's Creed on 360, 894,000.
Nice.
Number six, still going strong, Halo 3,
mm-hmm.
743,000 copies.
Mm-hmm.
On top of, I don't even remember how many other millions they've already sold. Number seven, Brain Age 2 on the DS, 660,000.
Yeah, I can see that, though, because the numbers here are pretty interesting, because you think about all the people that were buying gifts for other people.
Yes.
So, okay, go ahead.
Now, the next one surprises me a little bit, just because of the time of year it is. But number eight, Madden NFL 08 on PS2. 655,000.
No, I don't know, but it's always going, man.
I mean, Madden selling well doesn't surprise me, but the football season is almost over.
Yeah.
So just the time of year, maybe Christmas gifts, I don't know.
Sure.
Number nine, Guitar Hero 3 on 360.
Good.
625,000. And number 10, a game I have not played yet, but kind of meant to, Mario and Sonic at the Olympics on the Wii.
I have not played that.
613,000 copies.
All right.
And the number one title for 2007, Halo 3, 4.82 million copies sold in the U.S.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
All right. Well, why don't we do this, Steve? Why don't we take a break here? I'm going to bring in the roll the interviews that I did with the Gamerscore blog guys, and then I'm going to follow it with the guys from Turok. All right, my special guests this week are some people that I've been trying to get on the show for a long time. They finally have found the time in their schedule.
Wait a minute.
The guys from the Gamerscore blog. So I've got John, Tony, and Chris here. We went to CES together.
Yes.
And see now this.
So Chris is nodding his head across the room.
So just so people know, you're only going to hear one voice in addition to mine, although I can give you guys my microphone, because I only have two microphones, and there's three of them, so they're going to fight over the microphone. So I have John, Tony, and Chris. Do you want to say hello so people can recognize your voices?
Yeah, of course, John Picaro. Gamertag Stalalem.
Right.
Give me that.
Yeah, there we go.
This is Tony. Gamertag Bastillion.
You haven't changed that yet? I thought you were going to change your gamertag.
We were trying to get Tony to change his gamertag. He hasn't yet. This is Chris Palladino. C. Palladino is my gamertag. Equally kind of lame, I know.
But you guys do your own show. First of all, let's back up a little bit. I'm going to throw the microphone back to Johnny. You're going to explain the Gamerscore blog, because I have my blog and you guys have your blog, and we work like yin and yang together.
Yes, more yang than yin. I have
whatever
no idea
that means.
What that even means. But anyway, no, we work for the global marketing team, and as such, we're in contact with the marketing folks, PR folks, quite a bit.
Yep.
We've got a blog, the Gamerscore blog.
Which you have, like, what? I think it's, last I checked, 32 people blogging on that
Yeah,
blog?
No, actually 31, but you're welcome. You know, we always leave a spot open for you.
Yes, thank you.
We have five or six of us regularly that are blogging, you know, Chris, Tony, and I, and we've got Sarah.
Yep.
And Nelson. And some other folks occasionally will jump in.
Who talk? I also want to also say you guys cover Xbox stuff, but you also cover games for Windows stuff,
right? And strangely enough, MSN games as well.
So you do? Oh, that's
games.
Right. You do.
Yep. Cindy actually is a author's occasionally on our blog. She works
Cindy Grew who?
Cindy Grew who? Exactly. Cindy Lou Grew. So she'll throw in some occasional posts about something cool that's happening over there. It's really just a place where we can put official announcements. We have an RSS feed set up with all of the press announcements we send to the press, and we'll occasionally come in with our own stuff.
Yeah, you guys had the post that you put up on Friday about the about Undertow.
That's right. Yep, Undertow for free.
Woo-hoo! Yep. Undertow for free starting this Wednesday for I think it was Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, so 5 days.
Yeah, it'll be all the way through the weekend. Great game too. Quite a few people have downloaded and purchased it, and those that have know it's an awesome game. 16-player multiplayer,
yep.
Co-op built in.
Yep,
looks great. It's a fun game.
It is a fun game.
Don't forget to download it.
So you guys had the announcement of that I pointed to. Yep. But I want to get back to we all went to CES not together.
Well. If you count the part where you got out of the convertible in Ely, Nevada.
Is that where it was? I don't even remember anymore.
Yeah. God, we were together up till then, but you had to hitchhike.
Beyond that, it was Area
it was
51
rainy.
Style.
Yes.
Oof, that was crazy.
We did. We were there covering CES.
So. You guys had your what did you call that thing, Tony?
It was the Love Mobile, baby. No, it was the... CES.
Does it feel like I don't know. Go ahead. I know. Go ahead. We're being a little punchy, but
it
go
was
ahead.
The CES community limo. So the idea was a big pain point at CES is always transferring between the hotels and the convention center. So we thought we could alleviate that pain point by providing this.
Did you say alleviate?
Yes.
Alleviate. I'm sorry.
Alleviate. That's how we say it up here in the Northwest.
Okay.
To transfer people from the hotel to the convention center
right.
and back again during the show.
Yeah, it was great. You had the big Games for Windows and Xbox 360, and it was quite a nice ride. Big ride.
Yeah.
And then wow, what's going on here? I don't know if you guys can hear that on the microphone, but there's something vibrating in the next room. Something's going crazy. Last time I heard, this is a true story, last time I heard that sound and I was at Microsoft, it was an earthquake. And I jumped under the table. First earthquake ever. It was horrible. Yeah, it was horrible. So that was great because you were able to bring people around, because anybody who's been to CES just knows that Tony's right. It's a nightmare with trying to get from point A to point B. You're like, oh, it's only going to take 10 minutes. 45 minutes later, you've moved 15 feet.
Right.
So it was great. Who are some of the people that took us up on that?
Well, actually, probably the highlight of the show is we had Jeff Bell in the limo with us.
Well, he's always, yeah.
So we left from the Venetian to go to the convention hall. It took about an hour the first morning of the show.
Right.
But we had some lucky community folk that were in the limo as well. So they had an hour's time.
Unscheduled.
Yep, with Jeff Bell. And it was very interesting.
Do you remember who those?
We did have to make Jeff promise that we would keep some of the stories that were told confidential.
Of course.
Because what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Got to say that, yeah. Right. So who are some of the community members? I want to give them a shout out. Chris, why don't you tell us?
Yeah, thegamereviews.com.
Yep.
And SquadXP, I know, was in there.
SquadXP. Did I miss those guys?
I saw Demetrius.
Okay, because I wanted to say hello to those guys. It's always good to see
those
guys.
You know, it was just so busy that I didn't see a lot of the people that sent me emails after the fact and said, hey, I missed you.
Yeah.
I mean, we were there 3 days. You know, a lot of running around.
Right.
And it's just,
we were actually...
CES is a big place. It's not that easy to see everybody.
No, it's beyond a big place. It's at some points larger than most American cities, the people that are going. I mean, it's hundreds of thousands of people, it feels like, and I think it's well over that. Yeah, John says it's like 1 million square feet, and it's easily that, of which we saw, 20%, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah, we were set up. We had a cool little office because Craig and I were cutting the inside Xbox videos with you guys in this cool little room in this two-story tent across the street. Although I say across the street, it kind of gives this mental image that it wasn't as close as it really was. We were literally 100 steps away from...
Because they had all the press tents, and they had the Microsoft Auto tent was over there, and I think Gibson had a little mobile house that they had their operations.
What wasn't there, if you guys remember from last year, the Girls Gone Wild bus was not there.
True.
So we did that video.
Tony kept looking. But.
Yeah, we were all looking. Who wasn't?
No, I wasn't looking.
Yeah, you were. I know. I saw you. Tell your wife you were looking. But it was so it was fun to go there, and we went around. You guys, Chris, you went out on the we went out. It was you and
we
me and Video Monkey
and
went on the floor.
Because the show is so large, we lost each other in the Voodoo HP booth.
HP booth. That's right. We're looking at gaming PCs. Remember they had that that $20,000 or $30,000 gold plated PC.
Yeah. And I was trying to take it, but they locked that glass.
Was it running XP or Vista?
Right there.
Was it running XP?
I just wanted to bring it home. Yeah, I didn't see what it was actually.
That. So we were out. We went through the floor. What were the highlights of? I want to go right down the line. What were the highlights of some of the show for you guys?
For me, it was the Ion prototype Rock Band drum set.
Yeah.
So they actually had a real drum set, and it was set up, hooked up through an Xbox 360 to Rock Band.
Right.
And it had cymbals and everything, and it had a real kick pedal, and I was in heaven. I kept asking Greg, the manager, the marketing guy there, when are these available and how much do they cost? He wouldn't give me any information, but I got his card, so I'm going to email him, I think, weekly to make sure that it hasn't been announced, and I just haven't been aware of it yet.
Well, you're pretty aware of everything going on, so I'm sure you'll notice.
I try to be.
What about for you, Tony? Was it the 103-inch screen? Was it the...
it's 150.
Oh, 150. 103 was last year.
Yes.
That's wow. I'm a year behind. That's right. I stood in front of the thing.
Big Panasonic TV is 150 inches.
Right.
But I would say the highlight of the show for me was actually our community get together.
Right. Let's talk about that.
So
we're going to talk about that, but I want to go to John, ask what his highlight is, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about that. So we'll continue.
Yeah, if you remember, years ago, Saturday Night Live did a sketch where the guy had a phone that was so small that it fit in, he'd lose it. It was invisible, kind of sitting in his ear.
Right.
They had several of those prototypes around.
Did they?
No, I don't know.
I'm sure they did. It was the craziest stuff there.
The show was pretty cool. I don't know.
Why is our phones going crazy?
Somebody's got a cell phone near a speaker. For me, really, we go there to hang out with community, and I think the coolest thing that we were able to actually talk to folks about was getting some hands-on with LoadRunner a little bit, seeing how that worked. We got to play around a little bit with Rez.
Right.
Devil May Cry.
Rez HD, Devil May Cry. Yep.
So that was kind of it. And then for me, it was also watching Chris fail on the Ion drums. You know, whatever. He was on medium or easy, I think, in Rock Band. Unfortunately, he failed, made us all look bad. That was it. Yeah.
So, but I want to get Tony. I want to get back to you. We talked about the Wednesday night we did. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. First of all, back up. Sunday we did the briefing. We were all at the briefing. You guys had we had some community people there. I put up the show as a you know full stream for people to listen to the last Bill Gates keynote. Monday was the show. Wednesday was the show. Wednesday night we did the community party. Let's explain what we did there because that was cool.
Yeah. So we had a community get together at In-N-Out Burger.
Yep.
Your favorite meat.
Now, how could it not be?
I know. I'm sure your listeners are very.
Well, I love Ruth's Chris also.
With what?
Oh, you said my favorite meat establishment. I wanted to also just straighten that out.
A Ruth's Chris burger.
Yeah. So yeah, we're going to do our next community event at Ruth's Chris, if you guys are right.
But we had a pretty good turnout. I think we had about 40.
Yeah, I think it was about 40 folks
that showed up. So a lot of double-doubles ordered. And
John was there. So Chris, you put the pictures up on Flickr, and I linked to these. You had... Basically, we were buying pretty much anybody that walked in the In-N-Out Burger at that point, right?
Yeah, at some point, the line was so long.
Right.
People were walking in, and they couldn't get through until we finished getting our people through with the one order. They only had one register open.
Right.
Open. So I just would let people know if they wanted to be part of our order, they could. So don't tell our controllers.
So Xbox 360 bought some extra. You know,
I did ask him if they played games.
That's all you need to know.
And yes. Yeah, exactly right.
So, were they?
Chris mentioned.
Oh, here you go.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we were standing there. Two guys in these flame retardant red jumpsuits came in, and
right.
we
I asked, missed those guys.
Yeah, we asked this man and this woman what they were, and they were actually EMS folks, and they were on duty, and they wouldn't let John. So they wouldn't allow Xbox to buy them their double double animal style
because they're on duty.
Because they were on duty.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, but the good news is, anyone that choked, we had the EMS
yeah, we were
guys.
Covered. And be clear, no one did.
No one choked.
No one did. Their services were not needed.
Yeah, but it was cool. We spent a couple hours in In-N-Out.
Couple hours, and, couple hundred bucks, and we
a testament to the prices of In-N-Out. Yeah, the whole thing was like what 200?
25.
I was amazed.
$225. I remember.
Yes.
That image is up
for 40 people with burgers, fries, and meat. I mean,
and a great time.
We should maybe run some ads here on your podcast from In-N-Out. We could talk to the In-N-Out folks.
Well, the In-N-Out, yeah, I don't think they need any more business. But a lot of people, John, what did you say?
No, I was going to say in your podcast last week you'd mentioned we should do one here locally.
Yeah,
we go to Dick's maybe, Dick's Drive-In.
Dick's or E was talking. A Red Mill Burger.
There it
goes. I got a lot of email for Red Mill. Have you guys ever been to Red Mill?
Uh-uh. I know Fat Burgers, you know, kind of a chain, but I like their burgers too.
Yeah, Fat Burgers got burgers.
Or what if we just do one in the cafeteria?
I said bring them all in, right
to our cafeteria.
John, we are not going to invite the people at Microsoft to the Xbox headquarters. They don't want to eat our hamburgers.
We probably don't want them on campus.
Yeah, they're not very good. The hamburgers are not. Well, love to have the people, but the burgers are. I mean, come on. let us eat some good burgers. But yeah, we should do one around here. Can we do that?
Now let's do it. Tony's house. What's your address?
Tony.
20302 North
exactly.
148.
Something,
right?
Something,
yeah,
something.
Let's go.
One Microsoft way. the other question is, we were talking about this. GDC's coming up next month. Maybe we can do something down in San Francisco.
That's the gosh darn show we keep talking about. Yeah, good idea. Yep, GDC's coming up, what, in 3 weeks or something?
I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks. It's sometime in February.
They've got In-N-Out there, too.
And so right, in San Francisco.
Area, yeah.
We don't have to
do
it there, though. We can do it someplace downtown. But it's up to you guys, because you guys are paying.
Yeah.
I know. I love spending other people's money. And that's what it was. But no, you guys, seriously, thank you. It was a great, it was a really cool event to see that vehicle pull up. And
yeah, and to contrast it, we've done a few of these. We did one in, remember the Marriott in New York.
That's right.
You remember the bill there was $700.
That's right. We did it at that like atrium up on like the 10th floor or something.
Yep. But that I think might have included alcohol too.
So. Yeah, we had some booze.
No alcohol.
Those are expensive appetizers, but you're sitting in Times Square.
That's right.
Yeah, there was no alcohol at this one.
Yeah, we should do more of these. It was fun.
So we'll have to figure out if we do one in San Francisco. We definitely got to do a Seattle one, but I think we should wait until the weather's better.
Good call, especially Dick's. They don't have interior seating, at least the ones I've been to.
So. All right, so we're definitely going to do that, but I want to go around. What games are you guys playing?
Oh, boy. Well, I've just finished my quest at the end of the year to reach 35,000 gamer score. So
you're at 35,000?
Yes.
That's more than double. Wow.
5,000 more
you.
To go in about 3 weeks, and I did it all during my Christmas break. So I had overloaded.
Avatar.
Hey, okay. Avatar was in there.
And
but,
it's on mine, too.
But there's others.
Right.
No, recently I've just been trying to catch up on the arcade games that have recently come out.
So are you going to play Undertale? Are you going to grab Undertale when it comes out, or had you bought?
Oh yeah, I've already played Undertale.
Yeah, Undertale's
a
blast.
It's a great game.
What about you, Chris?
I can't get out of Rock Band. I keep trying. So ever since Rock Band came out, what, 2 months ago, every time I sit down at my Xbox, since it's on, I just can't seem to
change. Have you played NFL Tour yet?
You know, I played the demo, and I want more. I want to play a little
more.
Those
achievements, I find them hard.
Are they?
Yeah.
I've just started playing Madden again because my New York Giants are advanced to the next round of the NFL football playoffs.
His New York Giants.
You're an East Coast guy. You got the Patriots.
Yeah, I do have the Patriots.
Yeah, they're still
coming. And I've been a Patriots fan for a long time. Not this was like when they sucked.
When they were 1-15.
Yeah, when they were 1-15.
So I
want to
play, you know, a little bit more Madden. I want to try out NFL Tour, some of the other football games. You know, I haven't tried any of the soccer games yet.
Are you playing Lost Odyssey? Or are you going to get Lost?
I'm going to get Lost.
Excited
Odyssey.
For that? I know you like your Japanese RPGs.
The Japanese RPG is a little bit difficult for me because I get lost in this. Even Mass Effect, I had a hard time getting around map or no map. I seem to have horrible man's disease where I don't know where I'm going and I have to stop for directions every 10 minutes.
That's okay.
So I wait until I get out, you know.
So you're probably really excited. The fact when GTA comes out, which I assume is going to have the same map schema that it has always had, you know, or the GPS thing.
I can tell exactly what street I'm on. I like Saints Row a lot, so GTA will be that to the nth degree.
Okay, all right. So now we'll go to John and see. John, what are you playing?
Yeah, boy, I'm stuck on two games. Assassin's Creed, kind of right in the middle of it.
Okay.
But I had to load up finally Call of Duty the other day. I've been putting it off because I wanted to finish Mass Effect first, and I was playing a lot of Rock Band with my kids over Christmas break, that sort of thing.
Did you get through COD4? Are you?
No, I'm maybe a quarter of the way through, but I'm just digging that
great
game.
Levels.
Yeah.
They've
well,
got some great
and then
design.
The other night I threw in Kingdom Under Fire, and I was that sucked me in. I was a little surprised.
Yeah, the demo's actually available up on Xbox Live. You can grab that, but obviously the full version's
maybe slightly quirky a little bit, but it's
an import.
It was a lot more approachable. It was easy to play. I thought, and I really was drawn into it. The RPG, the role playing aspects of it. We're a lot simpler than maybe some of the other games in the genre. So it was easy to pick your, to upgrade your weapons.
More approachable. Character.
It was just more approachable. So a good 2-3 hours into that probably.
I'm down with that. All right.
Fun.
All right. Cool. Well, listen, we've been going on for a few minutes here. I want to thank you guys, but I want to talk about your show. You guys do a show. Chris, I don't know who wants to talk about the show, but I want to talk about the podcast that you guys
do. Yes, we do the Gamerscore Blogcast, and we try and do it weekly, and I think, what are we up to, 46, 47 episodes? So just under a year.
Good job.
Or else 147.
147?
Yeah.
We should
number
it.
Just do what I do.
You just
attack one of the end.
To them one
I fully admit I did it.
I remember I was in the community at the time. This is a true story. And some of the podcasters are going, this dude's cheating. He just came out of the blue.
Yeah.
And he came out with show 100-something. And we started podcasting. We wanted to build up. And we got
just out of one. It's what you make of it.
That's what we should. So we just finished up show 197.
So you're at show 547. Well
we
done.
Yeah, we've done a lot of work. We've been podcasting for at least 10, 20 years now,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah. Back when it was AM.
Yeah, back when it was AM.
No, you guys cover, you know, you cover Xbox stuff. You also cover games for Windows, which I talk about a little bit, but you guys talk about it a lot more. Do you talk about the games stuff at MSN Games at all?
We do a little bit. We've had Cindy Lou Grew on a couple times. We're trying to keep it to about four people because as you
come on,
know,
come
if
on,
you get
come on. She's got to take a lot of riff for that name. I mean, really.
That's the whole.
I've never met her. I've never met her.
Reference way back in the day.
Yeah, I know. I've never met her. But okay, go ahead.
Yeah, there is. We've tried to jump into some of the MSN games. Are a little more casual for my taste. There's a puzzle game that if you're into jigsaw puzzles, that's your thing. But I need a little bit more.
That's a weird. That's a weird kind of gamer.
Joystick top 10.
Well, like things like Peggle. I mean, I think everybody loves Peggle. Peggle is a casual game.
Right.
Puzzle Quest is a hardcore casual game. So.
And don't even get Trixie going on Zuma.
Zuma, no.
Yeah,
no,
she's unstoppable.
Waiting.
She came into my office the other day and she's like, can I play Zuma?
Did she get any achievements?
No.
I keep trying to get her to get me achievements.
Oh, she will. She couldn't get any achievements because she's already unlocked them on my account.
Yeah, wasn't there a post somewhere on some blog that said that other people getting achievements for you was against Microsoft's Xbox?
No, if you're in the room, it is.
Oh, if you're in the room,
yeah.
With
as long as you're not sharing your account, and it's being as long as you don't live in Chicago and it's being recovered in the Netherlands and then back to Chicago in like an hour.
So
and
it's
a half.
it's a geographic
sure,
thing.
Sure.
So it's within 10 feet is okay. So 11 feet.
So I want to be clear. So like I was playing over the holiday. I was playing CNET. And my wife is really good at movie trivia, so she wasn't really paying. She doesn't know gamer score. She doesn't really, you know, what's profile. You know, while I was setting it up, you know, I gave her the Major Nelson controller because I knew she was going to kick my rear end in this. And she did. I mean, she was buzzing in, and she was actually getting irritated at me because, I, you know, at the end of the game, it kind of gives you some extra points, tries to make you feel good. She got pissed that the game was trying to make me feel
good. It was making you feel good by giving you points for never guessing.
Right,
correctly.
Never guessing, or, you know, you first were the last one to buzz
in. You buzz in last every time.
Buzz in last in. So, yeah, but Trixie will definitely get you some Zuma points. Whenever you see Major Nelson playing Zuma, it's probably her.
Yeah, the show itself, though, going back to Gamerscore blog, we try and really just talk about games that are out that week. It's a lot of good Q&A from the community. We try and take several questions a week and answer them.
Yep.
We've got Michael Wolf will sit in quite often with us. He does Games for Windows PR and now product marketing. And he's a wealth of information about that stuff, so always keeping us informed there.
Yep.
We just try and have fun, keep it short.
It's a must listen.
I think so.
It is a must listen. If you're into, you know, Xbox gamers, Games for Windows gamers, you know, as I started off at the beginning of the show, your blog and your podcast and my blog and my podcast, they kind of yin and yang together. We kind of do similar stuff, but we're just, it's different personalities.
Yeah, we don't yin and yang in public.
No.
But
no.
Behind closed doors. Yin and yanging.
Is that true, Tony? Tony doesn't know what to say. I don't know how we got to where we are on that. So, all right. So you guys are. I'll let you guys go back to work. But we're gonna do some. We'll do a meetup. What did you? Chris is the one who actually named it a meet and eat. So I want to give you big ups for that. That was a great. I was just calling a meet and greet.
Yes,
you called
thank
it a meet.
You. It's just removing one letter, two letters, and.
Doesn't I hey know, man or putting a number on the front of how many podcasts
that's true,
you've done
that's true.
All right,
we'll
it doesn't
it.
Matter
yeah that's absolutely correct yes so, we've named it Meet and Eat for years now and many more years
yes it's good with its trademark. All right, I'll talk to you guys later. Again, if you haven't checked out the Gamerscore blog and their podcast, please do, and I'll have you guys on again maybe sometime.
Please, yeah, love it.
Looking for the invite to come on your show maybe.
Absolutely.
I don't know. Yes. No, I don't want to invite myself.
We've extended the hand before. Yeah. And the hand is extended. Come on our show Tuesday at noon.
All right, I'll talk to you guys later.
Take care.
Joining me for the show this week is Josh Holmes, who is the studio head for Propaganda Games, and they are responsible for Turok. Josh, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So Turok is coming in stores very soon, the beginning of February. I know you have a demo up on Xbox Live in parts of the world, and you also have it on OXM. Tell us actually, first of all, where the demo is and how people can get it.
Yeah, so, you know, this is a demo that we put together. It's about 30 minutes of gameplay, and it shows off, you know, some of the key parts of our game, especially the dinosaurs and the dino luring stuff that we do. And, you know, we first released this as kind of a reward to people who had pre-ordered the game. So we had it at GameStop, I believe, in November. So people who had pre-ordered the game would get a copy of the demo and a t-shirt. And then we had it out at Best Buy in December, and we were giving away like a beanie cap and a copy of the demo. And now we're putting it out there on Live. So it's currently in Europe, it's available, and we're bringing it out on January 29th in North America on Live Marketplace.
So there you go. So people in North America are going to be able to download it starting the 29th of January. And if before then, you can just grab a copy of OXM, which I actually have here. I've been playing it. It's a lot of fun. But why don't you back up a little bit, because the Turok franchise actually has a storied history, and I was wondering if you could maybe give us a little Turok primer before we get into about the Xbox 360 version of the game.
Definitely. Yeah. So, I mean, if you look at Turok, it started out as a comic book series, a classic comic book series, back in the 50s. And, then it was picked up in the 90s. I believe it came out, the first one came out in, 97, I believe, on N64. And that was Turok the Dinosaur Hunter. And it was kind of loosely inspired by the comic book series, but taken in a whole new direction.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, spawned a number of sequels. And I think for Turok fans who have played the original games, they'll all agree that, you know, the first and the second games were absolutely awesome. They kind of set a new standard and a bar for shooters on console. They were, you know, the first Turok that came out, it was the first-person shooter on a console to really get it right and bring that experience across. And it also was really revolutionary in the sense that at that time, first-person shooters were generally just these corridor crawlers that were all inspired by Doom. And this was the first game that kind of took it outside, put you in this lush outdoor environment, had you, you know, exploring and hunted by all kinds of creatures and stuff. A lot of that was really illusion. They were using a lot of fog and other things to kind of create an illusion that you were in this big open world. But people who play it, you know, remember it as this phenomenal experience. The later games in the series, you know, it kind of lost its way. I think from our perspective, it really started pushing the boundary from, you know, kind of fantastical into silliness and just kind of, you know, there were some choices that were made that I think really got a little bit ridiculous. So what we wanted to do was really bring things back, grounded in a bit more of a gritty, realistic feel, and we wanted to take advantage of the power of next-gen consoles like the Xbox 360 to be able to, you know, bring these dinosaurs and this outdoor ecology to life. And so what we've really done is focused a lot of our time and attention on the AI systems, the dynamic AI that drives our creatures as well as human opponents.
So you've obviously, you know, you talked about some of the previous versions and how the first couple versions were pretty well received, and then, like you say, the franchise kind of lost its way. So you guys weren't involved with those franchises, but now that you have this jewel or this gem that a lot of people remember from the old N64 days, there's all eyes are on you for this one. It's got to feel like a lot of people are looking at you.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think when you look at it, there's kind of a couple of things that were potentially stacked against us from the beginning, right? I mean, you've got, on the one hand, you've got this franchise that people remember so fondly, so you've got to kind of be true to those memories that people have, and you can't stray too far from that. On the other hand, you know, those people who, their exposure to the Turok franchises is just in the last couple of games, you know, maybe they have a bit of a bitter taste in their mouth around the quality of those titles. So, you know, those were a couple of the challenges that we recognized when we went into this, but we, you know, we kind of welcomed that with open arms, and we saw it as an opportunity as a new developer to really, you know, put ourselves on the map by creating a new Turok that kind of redefines the series, is true to the original in spirit, but kind of presses reset and reimagines the franchise for next-gen consoles.
Now, one of the things that a lot of Turok fans will know is that there's always a large arsenal of weapons. So I want to talk about that. Tell us about some of the weapons that are in the game.
Yeah, I mean, we have a huge arsenal of weapons, everything that ranges from, you know, kind of your standard shooter fare, like, you know, SMGs, pistols, shotguns, all the way to, you know, more exotic weaponry. We've got, you know, a minigun with an automatic, that you can set up as an automatic turret. We've got a sticky bomb gun that you can use to you know, stick explosive residue to an enemy and then detonate at will. All of our weapons have both a primary and a secondary fire to them, and any of the smaller weapons, sort of small and mid-sized weapons, can be you could dual wield them in different combinations for, you know, different strategic purposes. But I think the two signature weapons for Turok are really the knife and the bow, and these are things that we've poured a lot of time and love into, and I think they stand out as, you know, the best examples of a bow or a knife in any game to date. I'm pretty confident in saying that. And with the knife, you know, one of our big ambitions was, if you look at knives in first-person shooters, historically, you know, it's one of the lamest weapons in terms of how you pay off that kill.
Right.
And we wanted to turn that on its head. So, you know, if anyone's played Counter-Strike, you know how cool it is when you're able to creep up on an enemy and get that kill in a multiplayer scenario with the knife. We wanted to take that and really, you know, reward people with this spectacular kill animation. So we've got these really cool knife kills that you can do against human opponents and then also against the dinosaurs to really finish them off.
Now, one thing I was noticing when I play a little bit of the game is there's kind of a stealth mechanic in the game. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, really, what we wanted to do in crafting the game was give players the power of choice. And so whenever we're setting up an area in the game, we're doing whatever we can to create different paths that you can take and different strategies that you can employ to make your way through it. And because we have dynamic AI systems running all of the enemies, creatures, and humans in the game, every time you play through, the game plays differently depending on the choices that you make. It's not a scripted experience. experience. So one of the choices that we put in your arsenal is the power of stealth. And so Turok can use tall grass and shadow areas to his advantage. And as long as he's, you know, sticking to those tall grassy areas or into the shadows, he's very difficult for enemies to see, and he can move quietly and very quickly when he has his knife equipped, which makes that a very powerful part of the game. So using the knife and the bow, which are what we call quiet kill weapons in the game, you can then use that power of stealth to your advantage.
Can you tell me about some of the creatures that are in the game? I mean, obviously everyone thinks, you know, about the dinosaurs, obviously, but there's not just one or two dinosaurs in there. There's quite a few, correct?
Yeah, I mean, we really wanted to bring to life this prehistoric ecology, and the game is set on a planet that is not Earth, and so there's a little bit of freedom there in terms of how this planet has evolved, and that's sort of tied into the story, but that gives us some freedom in terms of the creatures that we can introduce. So we do have a number of creatures that people will recognize, you know, things like hadrosaurs and raptors and dilophosaurus and the T-Rex, of course, the king of all carnivores, but there are also some creatures that are totally unique to this planet that you meet during your journey. And, you know, an example of that would be a creature that we call the Lurker. And this was a creature that basically came from the idea of mixing a jungle cat with a reptile. And it kind of turned into this crazy kimono dragon looking thing that can, climb surfaces. It uses walls and trees to its advantage to try and hide until you're in position where it then runs and attacks you, tries to knock you down and rip your throat out. We've got some other stuff. You know, I don't want to give away too much, but there's some giant insectoid enemies that you face. There's some other stuff that basically sort of pushes the bounds in terms of what prehistoric creatures might have existed on Earth, so they're a little bit more pushing into the fantasy realm, but still very grounded in kind of a believable fiction.
Yeah, there's two parts to the game. There's the single player game, which you were kind of describing, but then there's also the multiplayer game, and that's something a lot of Xbox Live owners are really interested in. So tell us something about the multiplayer.
Yeah, I mean, multiplayer is a huge component of the game. It's something that we put a lot of time and effort into, recognizing how important that is, you know, to first-person shooter fans. So we have, with the game that ships, we have seven maps with five different match types on each of those maps, and we have, you know, stuff that people are going to recognize, like deathmatch, team deathmatch, capture the flag, ACTF. We also have an objective-based mode where, depending on the map that you're playing on, you and your team are trying to accomplish different objectives, hold a particular area of the map, enable different things to accomplish your goal. But the thing that really kind of turns the experience on its head and makes it stand out as different is the inclusion of dinosaurs in all of these maps that you're playing in, because the dinosaurs become this sort of third neutral party where you've got you and your enemies, and then these dinosaurs that, you know, they play no favorites. They'll come after you, they'll come after your enemies, and then we give you tools like, you know, the bow, the flare on your shotgun that you can then use to lure these dinos to attack your enemies. And that makes for a lot of fun. I mean, nothing is quite as satisfying as coming around the corner and finding an enemy player, you know, struggling for his life in the grips of a raptor, and then sort of pulling out a grenade and tossing it in there and blowing the two of them.
So that's really an interesting angle with the multiplayer, is the fact that, you know, obviously it's one team against the other, but then you've got this neutral, the roaming, and I assume they're roaming, dinosaurs. Wow, that's an interesting angle to introduce into the multiplayer.
Yeah, I mean, we wanted to keep the multiplayer as true to the single player as possible, and, you know, we really recognize that dinosaurs are the coolest part of this game, and so they absolutely had to be a part of the multiplayer experience. And I think it adds, just a completely different feel to playing the game. And it becomes that kind of wild card factor in any battle, which makes it a lot of fun.
Now, I would like to ask you, we're talking about multiplayer, and I would be completely remiss if I didn't ask you, but about a month and a half ago or so, there was a lot of dust up on the internet about the grab bag achievement. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, the infamous grab bag achievement. So, I mean, just a little bit of background on this.
Yeah.
You know, I need to clarify for people that in the game, you can't team kill with, you know, just by shooting people with your weapon. By default, that is not an option. So what we did find, though, is, you know, when someone uses grenades, you can accidentally blow up your teammates. And we found that typically, a new user, the first time out, would be sitting there playing the game, and they would, you know, they'd try to take out an enemy and a dinosaur, usually in that situation that I described where the raptors pounced on an enemy, he's like ripping the enemy's throat out, and the person would throw a grenade in there, not realizing that their buddy is standing right within the range of the grenade, and end up blowing all of them up at once. And so, you know, we thought it was kind of funny how frequently this was happening. It was almost, you know, a sure thing for a first-time player.
Sure.
And we decided to put in a humorous achievement that kind of played on that, not knowing, of course, the kind of severe backlash that we get from the community. And I really, you know, after having read a lot of the responses from people online, we see that perspective and how it could have the potential to you know, to really incentivize people for the wrong things like team killing. So we've actually moved ahead with a change to the game. That's a patch that's available online first time that you connect to Xbox Live that actually does address that and takes the team kill portion out of the grab bag achievement.
Got it. So the achievement's still there, but there's no longer a team kill. Part of it.
That's right.
Cool.
Yeah, I mean, we're basically, you know, we're trying to listen to the fans. We understand the concern, and we wanted to make sure that, you know, we didn't have anything in there that was going to prevent people from enjoying the multiplayer portion of the game, because it is so important. It is so awesome. So that was something that, you know, we sort of ran off and addressed as soon as we saw the concern raised on the net.
Cool. I appreciate you straightening that out. But I must ask you, and I like to ask this of most of my guests, what is your gamer tag?
My gamer tag is Solomon911.
Okay. I'm going to put that in.
That's my most recent one, anyway.
Can you spell that for me?
It's Solomon911.
Great. I will make sure to put that up there, and hopefully, now that you've straightened that out, you don't have to worry about getting on a team and people killing you, since you're the guy responsible for that.
I'd be in a lot of trouble if we hadn't addressed that.
Yeah, I also want to talk about this. So the game's coming out the beginning of February, a few weeks from now, but it's also, there's going to be a Turret Game with Dev event on the 22nd of February, which is a Friday, and I assume you're going to be playing in that?
Myself, I don't know if I'm actually available to take part in that event, but we do have a number of guys at the studio that are going to be online taking part in that. I'm actually traveling at that time, but we're gonna have people, you know, from engineers and designers right down to dev support and QA guys that are gonna be jumping on to play with people. So it should be a lot of fun.
And we'll have all their gamer tags and whatnot posted on Xbox.com about a week before, so you can just keep an eye out for that. But it's you know, a lot of people are excited about Turok. You guys have really you know, you've brought the franchise back from the grips of the T-Rex's teeth here. So it feels like it's gonna get a little momentum this year. You must be excited about finally shipping the game.
Oh, dude, we are so excited. I mean, we've been basically working on this now for about 3 years. So, you know, we founded the studio at the beginning of 2005. This is the first thing we started working on, and we've really built the team here around Turok and to deliver the game that we've created here. So having it now finally come out and being able to see people's reactions to what was at one point just a vision in our heads has been incredibly exciting and rewarding. So I can't wait till it hits shelves.
Well, Josh, I'm going to let you go, but before I do, do you have anything to tell us about maybe some downloadable content coming in the future?
I don't know if we've officially announced anything at this point, but I can say, you know, our intention is absolutely to continue supporting the game, and we do want to be putting some downloadable content out there at some point. You know, we've got the multiplayer stuff that I talked about, we've also in the initial release, we managed to, when we extended our schedule a bit and pushed the game out, that allowed us to polish the game, sort of the core game, but it also allowed us to create some more multiplayer content for the game, including some co-op specific maps that ship with the product. So there's three co-op specific missions there, and you know, those are some things that we would love to continue to develop and support for the title, just to really support the community.
Yeah, because the community, I know the community is quite excited about it. Well, listen, man, I'm going to let you go. I appreciate you coming on the show this week, Josh. Josh Holmes, studio head for Propaganda Games. Those are the guys responsible for Turok, which is it's on OXM right now, and it's going to be released at the beginning of February, but you're going to get a demo if you're in the North America. You get it at the end of January, on the 29th, according to Josh.
Yep. Thanks so much for having me.
All right, thanks, Gamerscore Blog guys, and Turok. I know you're excited about Turok E, and that's coming. I want to thank Josh Holmes, studio head of Propaganda Games, says this demo is available in Europe and many other areas, and it's coming to North America January 29th.
Oh, okay, cool.
So look for that soon. But I want to thank those guys for coming on the show. And what were we just talking about before we were? Oh, we're talking about XKCD.
Yeah, I was. I refrained from screaming "Raptor Attack" into the microphone. It was not easy.
So
for those of you amongst us who are geeks, if you don't read XKCD on a regular basis, you need to go read it now. Great webcomic.
XKCD.com. XKCD.com.
I always want to say it backwards, too. But
really?
All right. So well, it's... Yeah.
All right. So we've got a couple interviews there. Got a few things out of the way. And then we're going to do a Name the Game. So let me go ahead and play Name the Game sound from last time. All right, congratulations to Mitch Opta 5WWX is his gamer tag. I assume that's what that is. But
sounds like a gamer tag.
He correctly guessed that. That was MX versus ATV Untamed. he's doing that now. So once we get that out of the way, do you know what he won? He won that.
He won a Turtle Beach Air Force X3 wireless headset.
Yeah, here it is. I've always got the prop here so I can talk about it. It has chat and wireless game audio in the ear. And so we'll send that out to you. We'll be in touch. Congratulations. And we've got another Name the Game right here for you. All right, that was a sound clip from an Xbox 360 title. If you think you know what that is, send me an email, major@xbox.com, major@xbox.com. Put in your name, the game, guess, and what you think it is, and then maybe you'll win a prize. Did you get the email I forwarded you from my major@xbox.com account?
You need to be more specific.
you had asked for on Twitter, I asked for this.
Yes.
The playlist. You want to talk about that?
The Zune playlist, yeah. So I didn't have a Rock Band playlist and was... busy, didn't have time to make one, so I asked you to throw up on Twitter a request for them.
Because God knows people are watching my Twitter.
Yes. And a couple people came through and sent me the playlist. Thank you very much. I'm just going to tweak those a little bit, throw them on my Zune. I need to listen to those songs over and over a few times. I need the practice. I had a Guitar Hero 2 playlist that I lived on for a while.
Right.
Made me a lot better at the game, actually. Just because I kind of got to know some of the songs that... you know, I hadn't listened to over and over and over again.
Right.
That helped a lot, and honestly, I need the help on Rock Band.
All right. I can dig that. Let's see what else. I was just going through the... Have you gone over to Wired lately? Because Susan writes for Wired Gaming over there, and she wrote she has this new feature where she's interviewing a bunch of gaming folks, and she interviewed Frank from Bungie. I should pull that up here.
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
Yeah, it's actually kind of good, so she... I want to give her a shout. I'll put a link to that up on the blog if you want to go check that out. Susan's a good friend of the show, and I need to get you on the show.
Is that a relative of yours?
No.
Cloverfield Chills with Major Monster.
I don't know what that is. E.
Okay.
I don't know what that is.
Major Monster, Major Nelson seems possible.
It does. It does. Absolutely seems possible. I'm gonna go over to the gaming section and see if I can find her piece. It's up here.
I may have read some of what she wrote without actually realizing what it was, because I'll get linked off to Wired. I'll go read something. I didn't know they had a new columnist, though.
Yeah, she's got a bunch of stuff. It's Game Life is what it is. So she's got a good section over there under the blog section, actually. And let me see if I can pull this up here. I'm sorry. Actually, she's posted about all that. Let's keep going down here. This is actually interesting. You want to talk about this story?
When I saw this number, this kind of blew my mind. Rock Band has already sold over 2.5 million songs That's just amazing. That's just downloadable content, not songs that come with the game.
Right.
And it's only been out for, what, 6 weeks?
Right.
Something like that.
It hasn't been out that long at all.
Yeah, and already 2.5 million songs. It's like, wow, not only is it a very successful game, but if you're the music industry, you've got to be looking at this and going, okay, wait, you know, I'm worried about piracy, sales are down, all that kind of stuff. Here's an avenue through which people are willing to pay money for my stuff.
Right.
They're interested in it. They want it. They're, you know, every week people are like, what's coming out for Rock Band this week?
Right.
It's amazing.
It absolutely is. So, oh, I can't find Susan's piece over there, Susan, so I'll have to put a link up to that. But it was a good piece anyway. So let's see what else we can talk about. You got anything else? Actually, you know what? I think it's time for Xbox 101, don't you?
That works.
All right.
Xbox 101, this time with E and Major Nelson.
This week's Xbox 101, I just wanted to talk a little bit, for those of you listening who've got kids, and maybe you've got, you know, kids that, you know, they're not old enough that you're comfortable with them running around Xbox Live by themselves, but you wish you could get them online and let them experience it a little bit. I just want to remind people about the child account functionality that we have. It's actually pretty impressive. I spent a bunch of time arguing in a bunch of meetings when we were designing all this for Xbox 360, because at the time I think my son was 7 or 8, and I knew I wanted to get him online soon. And without this, I couldn't. So I just want to kind of cover the functionality that's out there. When you create an Xbox Live child account, you can set it up so that your child can only communicate with people on their friends list. So they won't be able to get, you know, messages from people not on their friends list. In a game session, they will only hear people on their friends list. So, for instance, your child could go play, you know, Burnout or Halo or any game, but unless he's in the game, he or she's in the game with people on the friends list, they won't hear any of the communication. It's like the other players are all muted for them. They also cannot accept friend requests on their own. To accept or send a friend request, that requires parental approval. So all you have to do this is make sure that you've got a Windows Live ID, you know, at Passport, at Hotmail, one of those addresses. Create one for your child also. And then when you walk through the account creation process, it'll recognize that, hey, this Passport that I'm creating a gamer tag with is a child account. Give me a parent account. And then the parent account has to get involved anytime you want to do something like add a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll actually pop up a window saying, enter the password for the parent's account. And without that password, they can't accept the friend request.
Mm-hmm.
It works great. My son's got, you know, maybe half a dozen friends on Live. People that, you know, friends of his or friends of mine that I trust. And that way he can hop online and, you know, play a game and hang out with some friends that maybe he can't see that day, and enjoy Live a little bit, even though, you know, at his age, I'm not going to let him go out there and play anything with everyone.
So there you go. So I'll put a link to that, but that's up on Xbox.com. So if you got an Xbox 360 for the holiday and you're wondering if you want to have your kids online or at least let them access to it so they can start opening up achievements for themselves, or you just want to have child labor and have them open up achievements for you.
There are people around here who have been known to do that.
What are you looking at me for?
I'm not. Yeah. I'm just saying I know several people, probably some of them are listening, that
right.
I've caught having their kids get them gamer score.
Which is not a bad thing, you know, because it's as long as everyone's all in the same room.
No, so. My son's had his own account since 05. He's got his own gamer score.
Yep.
He's actually doing pretty good. He's going to come for you if you don't watch it.
Yeah, I'm sure he is. I'm only at about 15.5, and I'm going to put a little asterisk next to that. Because it's really 14.5.
It really should be, because you played Avatar.
I did. Guilty as charged.
I would like to point out that while I've played Avatar, I have no achievements from the game.
Really?
I popped it in, I looked at it, and went, yep, you could get these really cheap, and then I didn't do it.
All right, so right before we went to, while E was doing that, I was actually looking for the piece I was talking about on Wired, and Susan, it's called One-on-One, and she interviews a member of the gaming community, two questions, one about gaming and one about something completely random. So she's got one up there with Bungie's Frank O'Connor. Frankie's a good friend of the show, although he's never been on the show.
So how is he a friend of the show if he's never been on the show?
Because he's a big listener of the show, and he tells me that. Or at least he tells me that. I don't know if he actually does.
We could try it right now.
I think he's responsible for not allowing me into Bungie.
So that's entirely possible.
So
how about this? Right now, I mean, Frank, if you're listening, email major by like end of day. When? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday?
Whatever. Yeah, I'll give you till Wednesday.
Okay. How about this? By lunchtime Wednesday, by noon Wednesday, email major and say you heard this. Yep. Otherwise, we'll just assume you're not a listener and you'll no longer be a friend of the show.
Well, that's a bit heavy-handed, isn't it?
No, I don't think so. Besides, it's not really my show, so I'm okay with it.
All right. Did I show you these? I got somebody had sent me a bunch of random confections, i.e. candy, from Japan.
The Kit Kat. I like Kit Kat.
And vanilla bean. This one looks like it's... I think it's Kit Kat cantaloupe flavored.
Wait. Okay. Number one, that's just wrong. Yeah. And secondly, there's multiple... Not really. There's not supposed to be multiple flavors of Kit Kat.
All right, we're going to...
Whoa. This is... Yeah, no, this is wrong.
All right, what is it?
You're right. That's cantaloupe. Cantaloupe and it's...
That's what I said.
They've got funny stripes in the chocolate.
All right, we're going to wrap it up now. We're probably going to open this thing and listen and eat some cantaloupe Kit Kat. So thank you for downloading the show. I want to thank my friends at Centricom.net for providing a secure and assured hosting environment and our friends at Cashfly for caching my show. I want to thank Lithion for doing all the hard work on the blog and making sure that it's up and it's working. And more importantly, I want to thank you, because without you, no one downloads the show and no one really gives a care. But thank you. If you have any questions, feel free to send me an email, major@xbox.com. That's how you get in touch with me. I do read all my messages, assuming it makes it through the spam filter, which is obviously, as you can imagine, pretty hardcore. But I'd love to see your email. So, all right, I'll let you go. E, maybe we'll do it next week. Maybe we won't. We'll see how things are going.
Yep. Have a great week, everyone.
And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Do you want to open those chocolates?
I'm a little scared, to be honest with you.
So, E and I have to talk about something, because we've been talking about it for the past couple weeks, is earlier this week... Oh, it comes in two little packages. One for you and one for a friend. There you go.
Okay.
E and I went to... we talked about hamburgers last time, and we went to Red Mill.
Wow. That was...
In Seattle, Red Mill Hamburgers. The place is not... Not long on atmosphere.
No.
In fact...
But I'm okay with that.
So Ian and I get there for lunch. Funny story. We get there for lunch. He's opening his chocolate. I can hear you. We get there for lunch, and there's probably like 10 or 15 people in line, so we're just kind of waiting in line. And I have never been there, and E has never been there.
It totally smells like cantaloupe.
Okay, hold on a minute. Let's get to that.
That's disturbing.
So we're standing in line at Red Mill waiting to order our hamburgers, and all of a sudden, I kind of jam E in the gut. I'm like, dude, look at that. And what was I pointing at?
There was, sitting on the grill, there was, I think, the world's largest pile of pepper bacon. It was ginormous.
There had to be like 15 pounds there.
Oh, at least. I mean, because it was...
It wasn't like an inch high. It was like 2 feet high.
Yeah, it was definitely over a foot high, and it was like front to back the length of the grill.
Yeah.
And it was perfectly cooked. I mean, it was crispy. Oh. It was...
So these, we're talked about. In fact, I talked about it. You know, you heard earlier in the interviews with the Gamerscore blog guys. You know, trying to get to do another Seattle area meet and eat, and I think we need to do one at Red Mill because those burgers were phenomenal.
Well, the burgers were great. Maybe the best burgers I've ever had in Seattle, mm-hmm. but the place is small.
Yeah.
So doing a meet and eat there is going to be tricky, but the food was amazing.
Do you want to tell them what else was next to the grill?
There was a very attractive young lady working the grill.
She was very attractive.
Yes.
So, mm-hmm.
But
so.
The burgers were, I mean, we were talking about this on the way back the other day.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about the burger.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the condiments.
Yep.
It's about, is the bacon cooked right?
Is it fresh? Is the lettuce fresh? Is the pickle? Are the pickles cold?
It was just,
are the onions
killer?
I mean, everything was so fresh, and the bun was enormous.
Yeah, that was.
We got to go back there.
That's like, it's right up there for, if it's not the best burger I've ever had in Seattle, it's really, really close.
I'm going to say it is.
You think that's the best burger I've ever had in Seattle?
That's the best burger I've ever had in Seattle. I'll tell you that right now.
It's, yeah, I could buy that.
So I, one thing I did is I have a new computer at home. We talked about this. I have a little Mac Mini at home.
Yes.
I have a little area in my house that required me to get one. And so I've been playing around with that for the past few days, trying to get my Mac service to work, and it's just not working.
And
for me.
Yeah, and this is the thing you and I talk about all the time. It's, I mean, we're gadget freaks.
Yep.
But sometimes the amount of effort to make these things work, it's not as fun as it used to be.
No, not at all.
It used to be something I could spend a day or two, you know, just mucking with it and fiddling and twiddling. And I mean, the other night when you and I were IMing, I don't know, it was like midweek. I was finally getting around to watching the Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Right.
And while I was doing that, I was converting some DVDs so that I could stream them to my 360 upstairs and watch them while I work out.
Right.
And, it's just, I wish that was an easier process.
Painful.
Yeah, it really is, and it shouldn't be. But there's just no easy one-click, do-it way to do it. So I try with this program, try with that program. I fiddled with the new Microsoft Expressions encoder for a little bit, which its UI is not like any other UI.
Right.
Or at least no program I'm used to. Maybe they're trying to be similar to something I'm not familiar with.
Right.
But I spent a lot of time just looking at it going, and then I downloaded a bunch of, you know, other tools and played with them, and it's just not one I really like.
So I got so my Mac Mini's at home all set up, but did you see the Mac Air announcements this week?
Yes.
Mac World, and Steve was on stage, and they have that tiny little laptop, thin little laptop.
The super thin, expensive. I could see it being worth it to some people. I would never spend that much on a super thin laptop with not a lot of storage and no DVD drive, and you can't, like, my laptop has two batteries in it, because oftentimes I'm wandering from meeting to meeting all day, and one battery is not nearly enough for me.
So they had some good announcements. They had I got to pay to upgrade my Touch, which I'm a little ticked about, but all right, that's the way that goes.
Yeah. Oh, the best part of that whole thing, and I don't know if this ever got confirmed or not. Maybe it's just a rumor. Maybe it didn't really happen. Who knows? But the comments that Steve supposedly made about Robbie.
Yeah, what was that all about? I saw that. Yeah.
Wow. So for those of you who didn't see this, and again, maybe I don't know what the truth is, but it was reported that Steve Jobs wanted to know if Robbie Bach had been drinking when he got up on stage and said some of the things he said.
Right.
Which I personally found amusing for two reasons. Number one, executives normally don't talk about each other that way.
Right.
And number two, Robbie doesn't drink.
Yeah, we know Robbie.
That was a bit of a wow when I saw that one.
So it looks like Macworld was fun. I couldn't get down there. I'd love to have gone down there, but so I'm working on my Mac, getting it up to speed at home. I've got it dual booting into Boot Camp, and I also set up Parallels, so that's working well for me. Let's see what else I can tell you about from the. For some reason, we never talked really about gadgets in the main part of the show, and we're doing it now. But I would like to show you this book. See this book over here?
Oh yeah.
So last week we talked about this. This photographer, Howard Schatz is his name, and I neglected to give his name last week. He's not the coach of wherever we thought it was.
No, Herb Sendak, who's now at Arizona State, by the way.
So Howard Schatz is the photographer, and what happened was, and this is a true story, E, my wife travels a lot, as we've talked about.
Right.
She heard the show last week.
Okay.
And she ordered the book for me while she was on the road, and it showed up at the house.
Nice.
So it's called H2O. Did you look at the book?
I flipped through it. Yeah, there's some nice pictures.
It's great.
There.
I mean, it's a lot of naked ladies.
Yeah.
Because
like I said, nice pictures.
It's all about the shooting images underwater. Anyway, I really enjoy that because I'm an underwater kind of guy.
I'm really surprised at the quality of the pictures.
Yeah.
And I guess when you think about it, he's not just shooting like in some random location.
He's
like,
controlling everything.
Right. A super filtered pool and you know, all that kind of stuff. Because they look amazing and you expect them to be a little blurry or something. And
they have this very strange quality about them. So that's such funny stories that my wife bought the book for me. Well, after she heard the show.
I didn't realize she listened.
Yeah. Well, sometimes she does. If I tell her to, so. All right, do you have anything else? Because otherwise we're gonna wrap it up.
There was something else we were going to talk about in the after show that wasn't burgers, and I didn't write it down.
All right, well.
And I think we're done.
All right, we're going to go eat our Kit Kat cantaloupe.
I'm not sure I'm going to eat mine.
Well, this isn't bad.
Okay, go ahead. Try it. Oh, if you could only see his face right now.
That is a...
it's just... That's not a combination that was meant to be.
It's an odd taste, but I'm still eating it.
I mean, there's, you know, peanut butter and chocolate meant to be together, just like the commercial.
Right.
Cantaloupe and chocolate? You're going to eat the other one? He's eating the other one.
I just can't stop. I don't know why.
You don't look like you're enjoying yourself.
It's puzzling. So... All right. All righty, you're going to eat yours. We're going to wrap it up now. We'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.